Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Tina S. I'm your moderator and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Thursday, January the 22nd, 2026. And today we're reading from the Big Book. We are on page 14, the third paragraph, reading two paragraphs, starting with, "For a moment I was alarmed," through, "He knows that they are real." Today's reader of the text is Tricia D., page 164, Sally A., backup, Susan S. H., 12 Steps, Evelyn B., 12 Traditions, Anne Marie M., our newcomer greeter, Penny C., and our second hour host is Robin L. And the reference numbers for yesterday, Wednesday, January the 21st, 2026, are 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, 23,142, that's 23142. The 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 23,143, that's 23143. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Evelyn B. to read the 12 steps. Evelyn.
Good morning. This is Evelyn B. from Massachusetts. The 12 steps. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made a direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer.
If you stop to really look at it, and where do we get?
12, might want to unmute again, Evelyn.
Did you hear 10? 10, continue to take personal. All right. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs.
Thanks so much, Evelyn. And I will now ask Anne-Marie to read the 12 traditions. Anne-Marie.
Yeah, good morning, Tina. Good morning, everyone. The 12 traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities.
Thanks so much, Anne Marie. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We are on page 14, paragraph 3, reading through two paragraphs, and I will now ask Tricia D. to start reading. Please read, Tricia. Star 1.
Good morning, Tina. Yes, good morning, Tina. This is Tricia D. from Georgia, and this is our paragraph. For a moment, I was alarmed and called my friend, the doctor, to ask if I was still sane. He listened in wonder as I asked. Finally, he shook his head, saying, "Something has happened to you. I don't understand, but you'd better hang on to it. Anything is better than the way you were." The good doctor now sees many men who have such experiences. He knows that they are real. When I reflected on this paragraph, I had to look back into the paragraphs prior to that, and what caught my eye was, so what was he, you know, he was asking if he was still sane. And I think about, I reflected that that destruction of self-centeredness is what I feel Bill was, you know, just reflecting on. Wait a minute, this, there's something, there's a change happening with me, and I must turn in all things, you know, of course, he's saying here to the Father of Light. The result, when you do that, when you finally surrender, which I have found, is that utter confidence that you know, that you know, that God comes to most of us in most profound ways. His impact on me personally was sudden and very profound as well. 2.5 years ago, after my liver transplant, which was in 2017, I was diagnosed with non-alcoholic fatty liver disease. I came back into the sugar after that surgery, and I know that I would die if I continued, and so desperate, you know, the hand of God. What, talk about my white light experience. Was I still sane? I was led to a vision for you, and I think of all the newcomers online right now, and I just share with you that that is what brought me my serenity, and my white light experience was finally getting on that. On that telephone line back in 2020, and I was so desperate because I knew if I got back into the sugar, I'd lose my new liver. And you know what? I heard my story, and everybody that was on there, I said, these people know what they know, they know. And my journey to recovery then started. You know, I looked at that paragraph where it said, he asked the doctor if I was still sane. What came to me was a serenity prayer. that, you know, God grant me the strength to do the things I can't do. God was doing for me what I couldn't do for myself. You know, it says the good doctor had also seen many men with such experience. You know, the doctor knew what he was seeing in Bill. So you know what you know again. There was a sudden or gradual change. It can be both. I reflect back again in the hospital with me, that white light experience, but mine at Garris came when I was when I picked up that 300-pound phone and I called Vision. And all of a sudden, my recovery started, and I got the freedom and neutrality from sugar. You know, I'd looked back. Bill said there was two things that he was realized when he got into God consciousness, that he was to sit quietly when in doubt, asking only for direction and strength to meet my problems as he'd have them. And he wasn't to pray for himself, except as my request bore on my usefulness to others. You know, and this is what has gotten me out of my self-centeredness, is now I know that the way to, because I was so self-absorbed in me and my food, and when I finally surrendered to that higher power and seeking his will, then all of a sudden the food, I got neutrality from the food, and it didn't haunt me anymore. It, you know, just the obsession was gone. So I'm so grateful today for a vision for you and what it has done for me. And I definitely am hanging on. And I know that it's real. Thank you, Tina. And I just appreciate all those who are online, and have a blessed day. Thank you. And I pass.
Thanks so much, Tricia. Thanks so much, Tricia D. Before we take a list of names, although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day so others may have the opportunity to share their experience also. So if you've shared on, what day is this, Thursday? If you shared on Tuesday or Wednesday, please step back. And if you give me your first name, first initial of your last name, I can take some names. Who would like to share?
Erin K. in Michigan.
Erin K.
Lori H., Florida.
Melissa C. Who else?
Vasa O.
Vasa O. Lynn S.
Pete
B. Pete B. Anyone else? All right, let's start with that then. Erin K., you want to start us off and tell us where you're calling from when you give us your name?
Good morning, everybody. It's Erin K., compulsive overeater in Michigan, living with you guys in recovery today. I'm grateful. I just really love that line, anything is better than the way you were. Because I, you know, like many of you out there probably, I've inventoried perfectionism as a defect a couple times, and I can turn that self-judging and perfectionistic light on, you know, my recovery and forget, you know, and be blind to how much, like how far God has brought me, you know, how much spiritual progress I've made. You know, I'm not perfect. The path has not been linear. But, you know, and I really appreciate the lead share too, as a reminder of like how bad it can get. And, you know, no matter how, I don't know, sometimes disgruntled or, you know, if I hit or maybe I'll call it a spiritual rut, you know, or I'm listening to meetings and suddenly it's like, I can't identify, or food is loud for me. You know, some sort of hiccup on the path. You know, these are just symptoms, right, of my spiritual condition. And I know what to do. I know what works. I just sometimes resist doing it. But even with all of that said, all of this is better than the way I was. And, it's a far cry from where I am now, and I am so deeply grateful for that. So with that, I'll pass. Thanks, Tina.
Thanks so much, Erin K. from Michigan. Next, we have Lori H., followed by Melissa C. Please share, Lori.
May I be heard?
Or one
okay,
more.
Okay, may I be heard?
Yes, you can.
Yes.
Hi, family. My name is Lori H., and I'm calling from Florida. And I haven't shared in a while, you know, but when I heard those words, you know, Father of Light, and I was thinking of Great Spirit, and, you know, and the other things that, Bill uses to describe God, like, I, you know, concepts of God, it just brought up where I'm at this spot in my body of work where, you know, I'm so grateful that I didn't have to go back to the food. And I, you know, recognized I was in prelapse, and I asked my sponsor to do a body of work, and she agreed it was time for a tune-up. And we're looking at these concepts of God, and I was looking at my prejudices and my concepts of God, and, you know, I see the ones that Bill used here to connect, and there are so many in this book, actually, of ways that God is, like, offering, you know, not only the concepts that, you know, that are, you know, suggested in here, but other ones, too, because there's so many ways to connect to the light and the love that we truly seek, that, you know, that fills that empty space inside. And for me, it's just growing and growing with so many ways to connect. And now, like, I just, you know, really enjoying, yeah, finally doing a body of work for the joy of it. And I'm really enjoying it. I'm enjoying, you know, getting to learn again and really be a student of life. And, you know, I don't have to be afraid of so much that I've been afraid over with all my contempt prior to investigation and, you know, the not wanting to be held hostage on the phone while people talk at me stuff. And it's like, that's not exactly what's going on here. What's going on is people are sharing their experience, strength, and hope. And with each one, there is something I'm getting out of it that I needed to hear, I was unable to hear before. And I'm glad that my loving God has opened my ears. And I'm glad that I, you know, I'm still neutral all this time with the food, you know, like that wanting to hurt myself with food hasn't even crossed my mind. But, you know, when the memory bridge starts breaking and I'm, you know, having to use my Post-its to you know, commit my food and measure it out, you know, obviously I'm in self-will and I'm locked in some way. And I was pushing myself in self-will again. And I don't want to go backwards all the way. You know, I've suffered enough and I don't want to create any more suffering. So I'll continue, like, you know, all the ways my loving God is reaching out to me in so many different and new ways now too, new paths on this broad highway. I'm just so grateful to be neutral, to be in the, and sharing on a meeting and, you know, just enjoying the ride through the steps again, really enjoying it. So thanks for listening for a bit and I love you guys.
Thanks so much, Lori H. from Florida. Next, we have Melissa C., followed by Vasa O. Please share, Melissa.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for your service this morning, Tina. I'm Melissa C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I live in New York. And, yeah, I think about, like, the, you know, when I really surrendered and gave my will and my life over to the care of God. And that, you know, for me, my white light experiences, I had a number of small, I guess they call it like the, you know, they say the educational variety, but they were, each one felt like a white light experience, and it was just sort of enough to get me, you know, to the next one, you know. And I do remember, you know, thinking, holy smokes, what happened to me, you know, and it was really, for me, it was after I gave my fifth step. I revealed some things to a sponsor that I really I really never thought in a million years that I would say it out loud, that I would even, like, put it out there in the universe, because it was stuff that was just rolling around in my brain that was eating away at me. And I remembered the day when I told the whole story. And the way I felt afterwards, like, did I just, like, what the hell was that? I just, like, lose my mind? Because I walked outside after, you know, revealing things about myself, and the lightness I felt, the sky looked different. The trees against the sky looked different. And I remembered thinking, I'm never going to have to use the food again. And then I had another very similar experience after I made an amend that I swore I would never make, you know. And I've had each of those kind of experiences, and what it has done is it's freed me so that, you know, the people that I was resentful to, I also remember like walking into an event and seeing people, and I was like, when did they all become so lovable? You know, when did I? And so, yeah, this is not, by the way, this is not just a diet. Like, no diet in the world ever made me change my world perspective, made me change my opinion towards people. But this program has, you know, and it's also allowed me to live free of the food, which is nothing short of a miracle. I am so grateful. I never want to go back to the way that I was living before. And if, you know, if that appears that I'm crazy in some ways, it's a crazy I can live with. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thanks so much, Melissa C. from New York. Next, we have Vasa O., followed by Lynn S. Please share, Vasa.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Thank you, Tina, for your service. And I am Vasa, grateful, recovered compulsive overeater, calling from Port Charlotte, Florida. And this is, I love this paragraph here. And yes, I came desperate after trying to put the food down for 25 years of my life. With everything I tried, it never worked. Maybe it would work for a while, but I always kept on going back. I didn't understand that the allergy, the sugar was the allergy of the body, the mental. I was hearing something I had never heard before. And so I was so desperate, and I was ready to do whatever they told me to do. And my sponsor said that I needed to surrender to a power greater than myself and the program, and that's the only way it was going to work. And I was just so ready and willing. And yeah, I went to my first meeting of Overeaters Anonymous. It was a Tuesday night, I'll never forget, and I marked my calendar, October 25th, 1986, I came. And she says, this is going to be your abstinent, this day is going to start. You're going to start your abstinence because you have a higher power to help you. I was so confused. I just said, I will do whatever you want me to do. So I went, you know, we came home, and she said, you have to surrender. You got to find a place, a quiet place, and you got to surrender to a higher power, God, whoever you wanted to surrender to. And that's, please time me. I went to the bathroom, locked the door. I didn't want somebody to walk in and find me on my knees, praying to God, please forgive me for all the sins I had committed my whole lifetime. Please help me with this food addiction. And I did have that sudden spiritual experience. I was confused. I didn't know what happened, but something good happened. I felt like the weight just lifted off me. I felt the power. I felt like the electrical, like the iron was plugged into electrical whatever you call it, the plug. And I felt that go from my head to my heart. And I didn't want to share that much with other people, but I could not wait to tell my sponsor what happened. When I get up, I wanted to go in. I was headed to the kitchen to open the refrigerator, and I was going to say, I'll do this tomorrow. And the small voice came in my head, said, how many times, I believe this was God, this is my higher power talking to me. How many times have you said that, Vasa? Tomorrow, next week, for this occasion, I got so scared, I turned around, I went to bed, and I wanted to shake my husband and tell him what happened, but I knew he was not going to understand. I didn't even understand myself. I could not wait.
That's a reminder?
I called my sponsor the next morning, and this is what she said. Anything's better than the way you were, Vasa. Hang on it, and just hang on it. And that has worked with good and bad things going through my life. Thank you, and I pass.
Thanks so much, Vasa O. from Florida. And next we have Lynn S., followed by Pete B. Please share, Lynn.
Good morning, Tina. Good morning, Vision. My name is Lynn S., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater in Toronto, Canada. And, you know, I'm just getting so many remember whens when reading this. And what, you know, it's just really striking me, these huge emotional displacements and rearrangements, ideas, emotions, and attitudes, which were once the guiding forces of the lives, are suddenly cast to one side in a completely new set. And I'm just thinking of that so much because of the times that this has happened with me. And the first time was completely amazing. And, you know, everything I thought and felt and believed was sort of just removed. And this whole new way of life was given me. And then I've had a couple of other experiences too, I guess, you know, spiritual awakenings that are so deep and so profound. And what is so amazing about them and the difference between those and all the other times where they're not me driven. It comes from within me. And this is what's so different. Like it's not me with a checklist and I'm going to do this, that, and the other thing, and I'm going to think differently and all this craziness. But it's quiet and it's gentle and it comes from within and it always brings light and hope and new incredible ways of thinking and feeling that I never, ever experienced before. And the joy that this brings. How do you explain to somebody that the thing that drove you insane for 36 years is going to be lifted? And you won't be sitting crying because you want to eat a sandwich so badly, but you know you can't because the desire to eat those alcoholic foods has been lifted and there's no fight. And the urge to fight everything has been lifted. It's incredible how this happens, and I wouldn't believe it of myself unless I experienced it. And I remember when I very first came in, I thought maybe, I said to somebody who was in program, is this a cult that we're in? And they said, well, if it is, it's a great one. Don't worry about it. And it's true, but it's not a cult. It's the gift of God has touched my heart and rescued me. And I'm living a life that I could never have imagined. And I'm so grateful. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Lynn S. from Toronto. And next, we'll hear from Pete B., and then we'll take a new list. Please share, Pete.
Thank you, Tina, for taking the meeting. I appreciate your service. My name is Pete B., and I'm a compulsive overeater, and I'm recovered today by God's grace and mercy in Pennsylvania. You know, I think it's easy to read these paragraphs and read what Bill is going through and compare it to our own experiences and then, you know, make the assessment is what I had what Bill had, right? Like this white light experience and right, like it was my experience was what happened to me an experience or an awakening, right? And it's easy to overlook the fact that, you know, Bill is in the hospital receiving the belladonna treatment, which is belladonna is a substance similar to a psychedelic substance that produces different effects. And it would totally make sense that Bill would have this traumatic, you know, white light experience under the influence of the medication they were giving him. Right. And I think I know what I tended to do was think to myself, well, how come I didn't have this burning bush or this white light thing? And what I've come to understand about the God, my God, is my God doesn't work in white lights and parting the Red Seas and, you know, knocking down mountains. My God is a humble God and doesn't need to showcase herself in some spectacular manner. You know, my experience was this. I could not stop putting a substance in my body that triggered the phenomenon of craving on my own will. And talking with you people and working with a boss and another person couldn't stop me from doing it either. And neither could adopting practices and things that people suggested I do wouldn't do it either. I was praying with the substance in my body for the obsession to be removed, and the obsession was never removed. And what I did was I asked God to give me the willingness to do whatever I have to do in order to not seek the substance, whatever it looked like. And that's what came. See, my God works in subtle ways. Speaks to me and communicates to me through intuition and expression. And I think that's the way God works, right? Later on in the book, it's going to talk about, you know, this being the Father and we being the children, right? And I don't have to qualify for the love of my God or the grace and mercy of my God. I don't have to, it's not a response to something I do. It's just a fact. Right. And so when we wonder whether or not these things are experiences or awakenings, I think we have to look back at our experience and figure what is the subtle way, what is
mental
the
reminder.
Subtle thing that happens. And the gift, and I'll shut up with this, thanks, Tina, is that the obsession to use these things gets removed and the ability to not seek them comes through this power. And with that, I'll pass.
Thanks so much, Pete B. from Pennsylvania. And before we take another list, let me tell everybody where we're reading from. If you come on a little late, we are on page 14 out of Bill's story, the third paragraph, reading through two paragraphs, starting with, "For a moment I was alarmed," and ending with, excuse me, "He knows that they are real." And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day so that others may share their experience also. So if you share it on Tuesday or Wednesday, please step back. And if you give me your first name, initial of your last, and where you're calling from, I can take some names. Who would like to share?
Judith S.C.
Judith. Who else?
Amy G.
Amy G. Who else was, who was that after Amy?
Nick F. in Tennessee.
Nick?
Yes, ma'am.
Tennessee. Thank you. Judith, Amy G, and Nick F. Take about three or four more. Okay, let's go with this, these three, and then think about what, who else wants to share when we get back. Judith S.P., please share with us.
Good morning, Tina. Thank you for your service. Good morning, family. And thank you, God, for my recovery this moment in time. In hearing the paragraph read, I was thinking, wow, to be able to pick up the phone or whatever, however he communicated. And Bill asked told Dr. Silkworth what was going on, and Dr. Silkworth knew how horrendous Bill's life was and how torturous the experiences of alcoholism were doing to him. He said, whatever it is, hang on to it. And hang on to it. There are moments in time now in recovery, many, many moments, where I really have to hang on, because that urge to go into self-will and self-direction and think, I don't need this, I don't need that, come up. Yet I do hang on. There are other times my arms are open and I'm welcoming my higher power, whom I call God, into my heart and soul, and it's glorious. And, you know, it's a little bit bittersweet for me, because Many of the people who knew me before recovery, not necessarily that I'm a before and after, but there are major, major differences. All of those people have gone to other realms, and I don't have anyone I can call and say, oh my God, do you know I felt and I did, and I was able to lovingly serve, you know, whatever it was, with love and excitement and eagerness, not nervousness. And people who know me now, you know, they see the weights come off great, but that's incidental. It really has nothing to do with my soul being healed. And, but you know, the person who knows, who I turn to in the mirror sometimes, or just close my eyes, is myself. Me. I say, oh my God, Judith, all those racing thoughts. And you did a 10-step, or you wrote a 2-way prayer, or you just turned to God on your knees. And when you interacted with that human being, even the customer service person on the phone that used to frustrate me, and you're loving and kind, and just as in the big book, it was like the cool wind that blows in the mountaintop. You know, I just feel so much love and compassion for myself. And from that point, I can do that and feel that with others, because my higher power has led me into these rooms and has opened my heart and soul in ways that are truly amazing. In no way could this have been done by me myself. And for this, I'm so grateful. Thank you for letting me share.
Thanks so much, Judith SP. And where are you calling from, Judith?
Oh, I'm calling from Maryland. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Judith. Judith SP from Maryland. And next we have Amy G, followed by Nick F. Please share, Amy.
Hey, Tina. Thank you so much for your service. Good morning, everyone. My name is Amy G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Maryland. You know, my first sponsor, she was sharing, and she said, you know, I woke up in the middle of the night and I walked down the stairs and the lights to go binge in the kitchen and the lights flashed on and off, and I've been abstinent ever since. And I said, give me some of that. Like, I want to be struck abstinent. Of course I wanted to be struck abstinent. I didn't want to have to do any work, right? I'd been fumbling in and out of relapse for almost 5 years and Overeaters Anonymous because I refused to do the work as it was laid out. And what I realized when she became one of my first sponsors was that, you know, there was work to be done. And Bill's very clear that the spiritual experience was only the beginning. You know, there is work to be done and the rest of the steps. And what I have also found, as others have said, there's a little bit of envy sometimes when I hear some of these experiences that people have that I never had. I was definitely the educational variety. But what I have found has been no less profound and no less effective and no better relationship to power when it is the slow and educational and garden variety. Because it was the process of putting the food down and working in 12 steps. Faith without works is dead, is taking the action steps that brought me the awakening that I have needed to now stay recovered for a few decades. And I also love what the doctor says about these experiences being real and having had is seen other people recover. These experiences are real. I want to reach out to the newcomer to say that these are real. I've heard people say before, oh, that'll never happen to me. And I have felt it myself. Oh, that might be you that can have more than, you know, a year of recovery, but that can't happen to me. And the reality is it can. It has nothing to do with me or us. It has everything to do with your power and these 12 steps. These experiences are real, and I have been blessed to see them myself in fellowship and to see the eyes open and see this recovery happen over and over again with the same process. You know, one of my favorite paragraphs in the big book is, you know, we have found a way out on which we can join in brotherly and harmonious action. It's a common solution. There's no secret code. It is the process of working the 12 steps. And I just want to end by saying one of the best ways to read this paragraph is first person. Something has happened to me and I don't understand, but I'd better hang on to it because anything is better than the way that I was. Boy, is that the truth. What have we got to lose, right? And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thanks so much, Amy G. from Maryland. And next we have Nick F. from Tennessee, and then we can take a couple more names. Please share, Nick.
Good morning, family. My name is Nick F. in Tennessee. Can I be heard?
Yep, I can hear you now.
All right. I'll be wishing. I am a compulsive overeater. I'd be wishing I could write it down and be scriptural when I want to say, like, God is so good. This line is so powerful, you know, to the lady that the testimony from the first share, like, that was a testimony for me. You know, I logged in on this meeting, and I had one eye open, and I was still on my CPAP machine. And I had one eye open, and I just dialed the line. And when I heard the first share and I heard the reading, I got chills in my entire body. You know, that's the power of God for me. What he's talking about, said anything would be better. Anything, you know, anything is better than that. I was on it, but then I lost it. I got so excited. You know, I don't know how to live my life without food. Except that I had this one experience that lasted for 4 years where I gave away 350 pounds. I wanted to die. I was disgusted with my life. I had lost custody of my kids to drugs and alcohol. But I had a white lightning experience. And God took it away. I did a little work, but it wasn't nothing compared to what happened to my life in 4 years. I had a different body and I had a different mind, but unfortunately, my mind and my life, I got, obscured or different ideas got in, you know. And in order to be that abstinent and working the hell out of this program with my sponsor, I have cried and I've cried. You know, I've had to look at my job. I've had to look at my relationships. I've had to look at my bank account. I've had to think about my kids. Hell, I'm even keeping a dog for a son that's in the Marines. I'm having to look at every aspect of my life in order to even get just a little taste of it back. So this may not be a white lightning experience, but like my sponsor said, you know, I'm having quite a few of them. Like, still chewing on the word, that's what I'm going to call it, the word from, I think it was Monday, somebody was talking about the fundamental existence of God. You know, I got two lungs and I got one kidney. Baby, my lungs don't need me to call them lungs, but if I get short of breath, I'm going to know what's acting up. You know, my bladder don't need me to respectfully call it a bladder, but let me mess around and not be able to go to the bathroom. I'm going to know what's acting up. Baby, my bladder, my lungs are absolutely powerful. Everything about me is absolutely powerful because I'm the daughter of the most powerful king, and I love this line, how we agree and disagree, but we play nice. It's just so much power, and in my opinion, we're basically all right. It's some people who share on this line and absolutely stop me. I don't multitask. When I hear certain people share, I just be still in respect. Anything. I don't know what God's going to take me in this afternoon. I don't know what God's going to do. But anything is better than going to Applebee's and McDonald's 5 and 6 times a day. And then just to jump back on that note about the fundamental idea of God, my mom's got Alzheimer's.
And
I'm going
to
say this in past. Thank you. My mom's got Alzheimer's. But I told her last night, I said, Mom, I feel great. I said, with the Lord willing, I'm gonna feel great tomorrow. I'm going to be abstinent tomorrow. My mama with Alzheimer's said, baby, the Lord will be willing, but will you? With that, I pass.
Thanks so much, Nick F. from Tennessee. And we have time for about 3 more shares. Who else would like to share on these 2 paragraphs?
Tiana in Ohio.
Who in Ohio?
Tiana in Ohio.
Gianna?
Tiana K.
Okay. Gianna K. Take a couple more.
Julie M., New York.
Julie M.
Amber B.
Amber B. Okay, let's go with that. We have Gianna K. Tell us where you're calling from and please share.
Hi, my name is Kiana in Akron, Ohio, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater today, and I just wanted to share a couple of things, different perspectives. First, many years ago when I went to the doctor, I was kind of arrogant about my recovery. You know, I was basically doing diet with group support, but it was effective enough for my doctor to take pause and notice. And just the statement here in the big book about, you know, you better hang on to it. But, you know, thank you, God. You know, I had long experiences of, you know, being in and out the food. And so today I don't have to go to my doctor's office with any arrogance at all. It's only by God's grace. And I say now when the doctors ask me, do you have a history of diabetes? And I say, I am a diabetic in remission by God's grace. Not about what Kiana can do or what Kiana did. And so I'm grateful for this slow educational variety. I do believe that God has blessed me with some spiritual awakenings that's been sudden through the years. But today, oh my gosh, it's so much more effective to have this slow educational variety because I have been able to be a service to others who have had a wandering path, you know. And I give all the credit to my higher power. It's no longer about me because I did every tool every day and I thought I had it. And because I was in a quote unquote right sized body, then I can go to the doctor arrogantly and say, yes, yes, I'm in this program and I'm doing this and that. No, no, no. Today is by God's grace. And I give all credit to my higher power because I am just one bite away. If I don't, you know, if I put the substance in, if I don't stay close to my higher power, I would be back in the food and be wondering or ashamed to get on the scale in front of the doctor. So thanks for allowing me to share.
Thanks, Kiana K. from Ohio. And next we have Julie M., followed by Amber B. Please share, Julie.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Julie M. from New York. I'm so grateful to be on this line today and to hear all the messages that God wants me to hear. And I always receive messages from every single fellow that I speak to. And the message for me today is how my insanity drove me to my knees. And the last time, you know, when I was on my knees and I was begging God, please take this away from me again. And the relapse was like an 8-year relapse after a traumatic experience that I experienced in my life. And so when I was on my knees and I listened and I paused, like I've been that, like it's been demonstrated to me on this line over and over again, take the pause, take the pause. I was on my knees and I said, God, please direct, please help me. The small inner voice said, go to the first telephone meeting on the computer. And it led me to this meeting, A Vision for You. And I was in awe from the first moment I came to this meeting. And I continue to be in awe because my brain tells me how sick I am. And every single day I wake up with untreated compulsive overeating. And this particular meeting and the people on these lines helped me to become right-sized. And I know that for today, God is helping me to stay abstinent one day at a time, and the fellowship is so powerful. And, you know, watching people grow and hearing their experience and hearing how painful life can be sometimes and that they're trudging on the road of happy destiny. And this is, I want to just stay in this meeting and with you all, knowing that the God of my understanding has led me to become an abstinent woman today and to be of service to others. And with that, I pass. Have a great day, everybody.
Thanks so much, Julie. I'm from New York. And next we have Amber B. Please share, Amber.
Hi, this is Amber B. from Pennsylvania. Can I be heard?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay, sorry. I think I just remuted myself and unmuted. Can I be heard?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, everybody, for your shares today. I think, you know, when I'm listening to the shares and reflecting on this part of the book, what comes to me is, you know, the way in which we connect with our higher power is going to be different to everybody. And that's kind of what I'm hearing through these shares. And I think for me, my very first OA meeting, what I now realize in retrospect was an opening for willingness to even consider the idea of how a higher power could be a part of my life. I had rejected this idea for so long, and I think, you know, even rejected the idea of going to an OA meeting. And when I took that first step in showing up at my first meeting, my higher power came through loudly, and not in ways that I recognized it as a higher power. Like, to me, it was the girl in the meeting who, you know, offered for an hour until her phone died, just sharing experiences and relating to me in ways that I didn't even think had experiences like that. It gave me so much hope and desire to keep going. And for me, that in many ways was one of those moments where God comes crashing through, but you don't see it as that's God. And I think for me, I'm starting to recognize that in retrospect is it's formative moments that may not feel sustaining or feel like what you might think God would show up as. But when I look back and I think about how that has shifted something in me and has continued to shift me in a direction of a different life and a life that is much more enjoyable and much more freeing, it gives me so much hope that those spiritual experiences are happening consistently and constantly if I'm willing to see them. And I try my best every day to just open myself up to the willingness to see what they may be, whether it be through the shares of, you know, speaking with fellows or things that are happening in my life where I'm like, wow, like that little thing, that was just a coincidence. No, it might not have been a coincidence. It might have been my higher power putting things in place to help guide me along the path that I'm supposed to be following, again, if I'm willing to see it. So I think I'm so grateful for this program. I'm also being brought up in the Recovery Jam way with like very structured step guidance with my sponsor that has been really profound because it gives me like these very necessary reminders. Like even just in my step two work, I remember, you know, listening into some of the podcasts around how, you know, you don't have to understand what God is. Stop overthinking it. Just be willing and it will come. And when I remind myself of that, it does come. And I may not see it in the moment. I sometimes only see it in retrospect, but man, is it powerful when I have that reflflection time. So thank you, everybody, for your shares. It definitely helps a lot to hear the different perspectives and ways. And with that, I'll pass.
Thanks so much, Amber B. from Pennsylvania. And we have time for a two-minute share. Who would like 2 minutes? Anybody want 2 minutes? No takers. Whoever that was, go on ahead and share.
Okay, good morning. It's Kathy G. in Illinois. Grateful to be here. So glad to be hearing about everybody's experiences today. And I just wanted to put out there for the newcomer, if you're suffering, if you're struggling, if you've tried this time after time, don't give up. Just don't give up. I have been in the program for a long, long time, decades, and I was free for bulimia for just past 35 years. And it was about 10 months ago that I just found myself picking up a food that I didn't want to be picking up or knew I shouldn't. And I ended up redoing a set of steps And I have had an incredible experience with the steps, and I have that. I'm not fighting the food. I care more about other people right now than I do about what I'm eating or picking up the food. And that really can happen for you too. So just don't give up. I'm Kathy G in Illinois, Kathy with a C. Happy to talk if anybody needs encouragement. All right. Hope you have a great day. Thanks. Bye.
Thanks so much, Kathy G in Illinois, Kathy with a C. Righty. Well, thank you. Thank you to everyone who shared. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing. And today's share ID, Thursday, January the 22nd, 2026, is the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, 23,149. That's 23149. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And I will ask Sally A. to please read a vision for you. Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Good morning, Tina. Good morning, all of you. It's Sally A. in New York. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.